Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back to Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast for the recap of Pays Vasco Stage 3. We also have some breaking team news as of middle of the day today. The Moraine Zeeman, the sporting director at Visma Lisa Bike, is leaving at the end of the season. So we'll cover that after the recap. It was a busy day of news. Also, some crashes in Basque Country, probably more impactful, frankly, than this stage itself, which was really... I never thought too much GC-wise could happen on this, Benji. This was just another long stage to manage.
Yep, exactly. When you look at the parkour itself, you don't see that, oh, there's not like a 10% climb in there. There's just that running climb. It's like we said it yesterday. The starting spot of this stage has a climb, and we thought, okay, maybe a breakaway might form there. Okay, it was not the most dangerous breakaway that did form on that climb. But then you look at the rest of the stage and you think, okay, there's nothing there that can do GC stuff. There's one climb in the last 20 kilometers, I'd say, with about 20k to go, that climb starts, but it's like 5% for a few kilometers. So that's something that even versatile sprinters can get over, and if versatile sprinters can get over that, those are going to be the ones that control the stage and try to get the stage. And that also means a lot of domestiques will get over, which means that it's less likely that a GC attack arrives on this kind of stage. But anyway, that's the parkour itself. What happened at the start of the stage? We have a breakaway. James Shaw, Felix Engelhardt, you named them a few days ago. I think it was for yesterday's stage.
Benji, I named every possible person that's ever been in a break yesterday. So that then when one of them does well, you say, well, I'm a genius. So it's easy, this analyst gig.
Rémi Rochat, Ryan Tarame, and Igor Chan. I'm pretty sure that's the Asian continental champion, the one with like the fancy colors on his shirt for Astana. But anyway, that is the five riders in the breakaway. If you see that breakaway, you think, okay, these riders, they ain't making it to the line. There's good riders in there, but there's no real engine to really pull the gap out either there and there. And that's what I kind of need in a breakaway like this, to be honest. In the peloton?
Pause there.
I will pause.
Don't you think, given Visma's team, Tullet didn't start this morning, Koos looked pretty mid in that time trial. Mid's generous. Koos was bad in that time trial. Don't you think if you UAE with those four GC guys, with Bora, with Sobrero and Hindley, you got these three climbs. Am I overrating how hard they are? The three climbs bank pushed together, especially as the break hadn't gone. It hadn't gone before the 10K 4% climb. Could they have tried something against Visma there, or really no, because there's a 50K valley after?
Well, the way I see it is, first of all, for that plan to even be considered as working, you need to put a rider in the breakaway as a satellite rider to attack towards on the hills with one of your leaders. Because I don't expect like a rolling attacks on the peloton on those climbs. That I don't see, because there's too many teams involved that don't necessarily want that to happen on this stage. So what happens then? Your rider attacks your breakaway rider on those three climbs in the middle of the stage. And what then? Then you're going to have a ruler in the breakaway that helps you out as long as you can, while versatile sprinter teams plus GTC teams are trying to catch you back. So you'd almost need other teams to jump into the wagon and attack with you, but they might not be willing to risk that because there's half a stage to go.
That's the part I'm missing, I think, is to say UAE come up with this brilliant plan, then Quickstep won't have that plan. Remco said in the interview this morning that there's nothing happening on this stage.
Yeah.
They're not going to put Lander in the move, and they're going to chase, and so you have three teams chasing you anyway. So yeah, you're probably right that pie in the sky thinking. But in the tour, we see a lot more of this sort of stuff. Like, don't you think if this was a tour stage, me and you would be thinking, ooh, there could be jump. We've seen stage 10 and 12 of the tour last year, not that different to this. And it's crazy.
I also feel like there's more more team cohesion at the Tour de France than in these races, especially at the likes of UAE, which has multiple leaders. If you have four leaders, it's much harder to set up a train, thin out the pack, then attack the pack, attack to a breakaway rider ahead, because you don't have the domestiques to do it. You'd almost have to attack a full-on peloton with one of your leaders to do stuff on this. And that's one side. When it comes to Visma, they're also in a position, I think a lot of teams are also in a position of, we don't know if a rider is too shit compared to the other rider. So maybe on the last stage, we might be able to take it, that kind of stuff. You know, it's everybody's waiting for stage six as well, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, maybe they look at Vingegaard's TT and they're like, not so dominant. No guarantee, he just rides away. Certainly Remco doesn't need to do anything, I don't think. Yeah, I also obviously agree with you that I think the TT was actually quite good, and that doesn't mean he's not going to drop everybody on stage six. sorry, go on. Proceed with the stage.
Back to the stage.
Bora chase? Peloton.
Bora was chasing initially, Ineos as well. So once again, Bora chasing on the stage. I've got the same take as yesterday. If I'm Bora, I'm not pacing on the stage. That's my thought on this. Roglic is not in the top X favorites where I would believe that Bora needs to be the team that takes it up on themselves. And I'd rather see them have Sobrero try and sprint ahead of the other GC riders at the intermediate sprint. And then Primoz, if he wants to, I wants to risk it, sprint at the end. But I wouldn't base my entire team around trying to get some bonus seconds when it's not very likely that Roglic gets top three on the stage. So I think that's a mistake. Ineos, perfectly fine. I find it perfectly normal that they try and get the best out of the stage going to this, because 2 years ago, and even in Romandy last year, Ethan Hayter would clean these stages.
Yeah, I think so. And I agree that it's... because we and you discussed yesterday, why did Bora chase so much? And then, I couldn't really decide why. I think it was just protecting the jersey. But... and keeping Rog safe, the safest part after the crashes yesterday, Benji, what would, if you're the leader of Quickstep, Visma, Bora, UAE,
yeah,
my first thing I'm writing on the whiteboard today is get X rider through GC leader through this stage safe.
Yeah.
And after the shenanigans yesterday, and who knows what the rain could come anytime in the Basque Country. So it's just nerves and not wanting to crash so hard. But brakes under control. We go through, and then the next action, Benji's off camera. Really? We see... When? How many Ks in was this?
I actually don't know how many Ks in this is. I'm pretty sure that the break was almost caught at this point. 40, but I reckon 40 to go? 35.
Yeah?
That's my guess. I was literally from the airport to my house at that point, so I missed half of the stage. Then my phone died, so
I can feel it.
I was perishing in the fucking car because my phone was dead. And then I had the laptop in the trunk. Then I was climbing to the trunk while my parents were driving, of course. I wasn't driving and climbing to the trunk.
Plastic
to try and get the laptop
fan
out to try and actually watch the race. And man, I've gone through the trenches for this one.
Okay. Anyway, speaking of going into the trenches, pardon the pun, we see there's a camera moto on the rear of the peloton. There's no front moto at that moment because nothing was on really. Bora were leading the peloton. We see images of Roglic standing up. He's in the fluoro yellow leader's jersey, and he looks, quite frankly, fucked up. Like he looked dazed. Big crash. His tarmac, S-Works tarmac, is about 5 meters over next to a building, and it's through a left-hand corner, fast corner, like real fast corner. I think it's a descent, not a real descent, but like a bit downhill, and. He looked banged up. We only saw him from his left side at this time, but he's like touching his head a bit. We see the doc come over, does a concussion check, and then I got to say, he looked wobbly to me.
He does look wobbly to me. I trust the person, the doctor that is there, that they did a proper concussion check because it looked like they did, and I would expect them to do so when they're at least doing something in front of his face on camera. But I am wondering, with how wobbly he looked, whether he would have should have started anyway. Because to me, it looked pretty obvious that he was dazed. Would they have restarted if it was a random domestique? I'm not sure.
Who knows? It depends on the rider as well. Like, there's one thing we know about Roglic. Like, he's got to be probably one of the toughest riders in the peloton. Like,
except for the limb, he would still ride.
Yeah, like. his pain tolerance must be crazy because, yeah, he's had so many crashes and he'll just keep riding. So, but there's actually footage of the crash from the Basque daily newspaper, El Diario Basco, from I presume they've got it from a bystander who was standing on that corner, and it's a left-hand downhill. And we can't exactly see, there's no heli shot, but the footage basically starts with Roglic already down, but his Bora teammates were on the front. I don't know if he overlapped wheels. I don't know if he braked too much, but his head goes straight to that deck and basically slides all the way to the banking. I don't know if it looked like, thankfully, the curb was smooth. I can't see exactly, but yeah, if it had been a raised curb, like when Bala crashed, then you can really hurt your knee or shoulder badly like Bala did, but certainly a very heavy fall. And Roglic took the worst of it, but he got back up, and we saw later that he had abrasions on his right hand side. But and at that point, I thought he's not coming back. Benji, 2 minutes behind, Ineos were pushing 30k's to go for Hayter's stage win. Other teams are worried about keeping their GC guys in front, and I thought Roglic was never coming back. But then Bora dropped the whole team back, and he actually made it back no problem in the end.
Exactly, that is true. And at that point, I'm back at looking at a screen. I'm looking at an intermediate sprint that's coming up. Intermediate sprint between GC riders. That is 3 to 1 seconds available for the riders there. And Quickstep was there at a proper train, like three riders in front of Remco. Then on the right side of that, you see the other teams trying to build a train as well. Mainly Little Trek for Skelmose. So those two trains. And then behind that, you see three riders from Visma Lisa bike, but it's Lou Van Belle who is sprinting. So the thought behind that seems to be Lou Van Belle trying to take seconds away from Remco and from Skelmos and from whoever sprints for it, to be honest. Because let's be honest, it's unlikely that Vingegaard wins a sprint against Remco and Skelmos.
It was Jonas, no? Sprint.
What was it? Was it Jonas?
Yeah, you're disrespecting him.
Really?
I think
commentator said Lou Van Belle.
Nah, I recognize that.
I'm gonna check. I am curious now. It is Jonas.
Yeah, Lou Van Belle bigger than him. he opened it up early too. I think Del Toro took second, Remco took first, and actually, yeah, Jonas beat Skelmose. He did a better sprint than Skelmose.
He did. the so, disrespect, yeah, my bad. I didn't know your game, my friend.
Yeah. Well, no, but at least it was dry. If it was wet, maybe you do send Lou Van Belle.
Hey, I just followed commentators. I'm going to blame... I don't even remember who was commentating.
Yeah. But anyway, that's not too significant, but certainly 3 seconds for Remco, he'll take that. And obviously Roglic was in no state at that point to contest the intermediate sprint. We come into the finish. Ineos had been pacing pretty much all day. Kwiatkowski was in really, really good position for the sprint. It's a slight draggy uphill. It's not like... Yeah, it's not a perfectly flat sprint, given that it is the Basque country. There's a bit of a mess. Decathlon Azure-Desert come up early like they did yesterday, but it wasn't as effective as yesterday. Hayter was too deep and around the outside as they were on the right-hand side as they're going around the left bend, really in the wind early. And Aramburu jumps early. I'm not sure if Serrano let him out or not.
No, he let everybody else out.
Yeah. Oh, but I don't know where Serrano was. Maybe he crashed. He didn't start? What the fuck? Anyway, he's not on PCS full. And Quinton Hermans, who I think I disrespected yesterday and said he's not had the best time of it since leaving Intermarché, he wins the sprint actually quite easily. Well, he hasn't. It's still correct. Yeah, he came like second in Liège, best on Liège. But he wins the sprint ahead of Eduardo Zambanini here. Bahrain do a bit of a Movistar. Aramburu's third. De Preto, who I thought might go on the break for Jayco, he's a very good rider, fourth. Nikias Arndt, fifth. I'm not sure if he was supposed to lead out Zambanini or what. But yeah, Hayter, sixth. Gregoire, seventh. Good to see that he's at least there after his crash yesterday. Godou didn't start this morning because he had a cut in his hand with 10 stitches, which is a shame. Vauquelin, eighth. Vito Brad, ninth. And Valentin Retailleur, 10th. Lapera 16th. So the decathlon boys went a bit too early today.
I do want to say, when it comes to Ethan Hayter, we can talk about a positioning as much as possible, but in the last corner,
he had no snap.
He lost he lost Kwiatkoski's position wheel in the corner because someone dove under him, and he other riders might have fought for the position, but he just didn't fight for the position at all, and the other rider came in front of him, and that's how he lost the wheel of Kwiatkowski. And then going into the final, like, sorry, but yes, it's not the perfect position. That's true. But it is the kind of position where Peak Hater 2 years ago, cleaning up stages, Roman the Hater even last year, could still win from that position.
Yeah, like, no, just no. He didn't have the speed. But Zambanini and DiPreto came second and fourth.
And he was riding next to DiPreto.
Yeah. So, but he said in an interview yesterday that he hadn't been doing, he hadn't done any sprint training or just some gym work. Maybe he's just lowering expectations, but I don't know. Anyway, Ineos Road.
If he doesn't do the sprint training, then does that mean the team doesn't know that he's not at the level that he was before in sprints? Or
I don't know.
Last 2 days been a bit of a fluke that maybe, well, yesterday we can't really count, that was positioning. But I'm not feeling a Hater as in what he was anymore. And I feel like it's a bit like Foss time trial, you know? He's not that level right now. He's not showing that level, at least. So I was expecting it every time.
I don't
lonely
expect
results,
it.
Well, we call them as one of the two favorites for the last two stages. What do you mean not expecting it? You picked them for two stages.
What else are Ineos going to do?
I agree. Send people in the breakaway on tomorrow.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I would also have probably tried to send Kwiatkowski and Fraley in the break today and then hedge your bets a little bit. But yeah, to be honest, I still think I don't think they did anything wrong pacing today. It just didn't work out. But you got to go for it. You got to be able to win it.
I've got a feeling that Lawrence Pithy is the rider that Ethan Hayter should have become.
Because he has
the snap in those sprints, and Ethan Hayter's problem was that we expected him to be in the classics, but his positioning sucks too much to do it.
Pithy got that mongrel dog in him. He's like, he does.
Sorry, but I'm talking about what kind of races they can do well and not if they'd have the dog in him or not.
Wait, Matt, for classics, shitty classics in the rain, when you're going to kill someone to undercut them into the Molenberg, so you enter
it's
three
true.
Positions better, you need that dog in you. And Pithy doesn't give a fuck. Like, he'll just do it. I also think Hayter's 20 and 30 minute power is, whilst Bekele is far superior to Pithy's. But I take your point. Like, I'm sure if Pithy was here today, he's in this finish, and I think he dusts everybody.
I think so.
In this, I mean, look at Paranese. He's against Pedersen, like serious guys.
Yeah. Can have the Great Ocean Road Race.
I mean, Binnie actually was there. Like, it wasn't like there was nobody there. Like, and Binnie was good this spring.
But
and it's Corbin Strong. We missed a crash though in the last 3Ks.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. Before we jump into that, this once again means that Ineos is without a stage win, and I find it harder to believe that tomorrow and the day after might be that. It's still possible. The parkour is still there. Break, like you say, is possible for those stage. We'll jump into them a bit, but also GC possibilities. And then I'm like, when will the next Ineos win be? And then I'm like, Roman DTT with Tarling is what comes into mind, because Tarling is the man you can trust for stage wins right now.
Just find a World Tour flat TT that Ganna and Remco aren't at, and Tarling will win it. It's not that complicated.
Well, we had a few already, but they didn't send them.
Yeah, well, the past is the past. You're right, Romandy looks pretty good for that. Or Swiss usually has two time trials, but one might be Hilly. There was a crash in the last 3 kilometers again involving GC contenders. Ayuso was involved, and he actually not just morally held up by the crash, he really crashed, and it looked like he was a little bit banged up. I couldn't tell exactly couch doctor whether he was more sort of, you know, sometimes guys are pissed they crashed and they're a bit dusty, but they're not really that hurt, or whether he was really hurt. He was straight back on his, not straight back, but he was back on his bike, two hands on the handlebars. It's not like he was holding one off or like Soler, you know, but certainly he crashed decently hard. And also Vingegaard was very close to that, very, very close to that crash too. And I think he and Visma just miss out. Remco seemed to be fine as well. Roglic actually, perversely, held much better position in the final of today. than the previous day, despite losing half the skin on his right side. So he actually survived this. He was well in front of this crash, and Bora did a really good job, Sharkman and co. Jungels, actually in the last hour. But the provisional results do have a split of Vingegaard, Vine, Dunbar, Cepeda on 32 seconds, but they were within the group in the last 3Ks. So being a flat finish, I assume that will be amended and they'll be given the same time. Unlike the crash yesterday, which was outside the magic 3Ks to go. Felix Gall also caught out. I assume he was in that group. I'm trying to look for some other GC.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Guys, I mean, we will know at some point. They'll do the confirmed results, I hope. Schkelmo, the whole of Trek are on 202. Yeah. Bernard Mollema, Schkelmo, Zagegan, Hart. But it's been a little bit of time. I mean, this is very strange, Benji, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm really... Ayuso has been given 0 minutes.
Yeah, but I think that's because it's obvious that he was part of the crash. So I think it will take some time.
All the others have to plead for it.
Yeah, I think now it's the team manager be like, pick up the phone, call the commissaire, say, oh, la, 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 my rider, come on, he was too far behind because crash. That kind of stuff. I don't know what country that was, by the way. Just disrespect to someone.
Yeah. Anyway, it'll be very interesting for this race indeed. If Vingegaard's been put on a 32-second handicap, that opens up stage six a fair bit. But I assume that'll be amended. Santi also on 52 seconds. So not. We're just going to assume for present purposes that no GC guys lost time in relation to that crash because it was a full peloton. Stage four tomorrow from Ejari Arenas to Legutio. Let's go, Legutio, 158Ks. And it's quite similar to today in that there's a lot of flat riding on a 600-500 meter plateau up in the, I think we must be closer to Burgos, like in near the border of Castilla y León, near Vitoria Gasteiz. They go up Opacua, 6Ks, 6% in the first 40Ks, but it's a flat first 45 minutes. Then there's a no categorized climbs for 100K, no, not 100, can't count, 70Ks. And then they do the Olaeta climb, 3.2Ks, 5.7%. But finally, we have a fake news climb, Benji. Finally. Yep. The first 1.8Ks are about 8%, 9%. Descent, the Unjila, also fake news-ish. It's got a K and a half at 9.5%. Little Valley, then the Lens Gazzaga, 3.1Ks, 8.5%. And I wouldn't say it's fake news, but the first 500 meters are false flat, and then it's basically 10%. Yeah. It's over 10% the whole way. I would call this really a 2.5K, 9.5% climb, is what I would call this. So it is fake, I guess.
About
intermediate sprint
four?
At the bottom, too.
Exactly, and
why? Put it at the top so that the GC contenders race for it. That's what ASO does.
Yeah, but the danger, if you put it at the top as well, is that you're kind of... I see what you mean, but it also risks them to wait for the sprint at the top. So it's like, it goes two ways, you know? It depends on which riders you have. Then you have the climbers attacking the sprinty climbers, if that makes sense. But anyway, at the top would be better than at the foot, because at the foot, people are going to be like, I won't sprint for it. Question is, I think it's hard enough for GC.
Yeah, I mean, you know these Basque climbs. I'm sure this road will be some bullshit like Cuesta de Cabra goat path. You know, like hopefully it's like too wide with steep pinches even within those 10% average in the last 2.5Ks. So, you never know in the back. And also with like, with Roglic banged up, Benji, he's still in the GC lead. If you're UAE, you should test him, no?
Yes, but I also have the feeling of like, yeah, I fully agree. Okay, let's have that clear. Yes,
yeah,
they should test him. When it comes to water teams, I'm even considering, I think, with Remco, I'm not sure, because these kind of climbs, in LPL it works out, but in Grand Tours and stage races, these climbs have not been his forte, I would say.
Yeah.
He's been beaten on these kind of climbs in Grand Tours and in stages. So, that's not really...
Yeah, like in the Vuelta stage, Roglic beat him in the sprint in.
Yeah.
Where, I can't remember what stage it was. 9, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I think someone should try stuff. Like, we saw Louis Mankey's attack on today's climb, so Louis Mankey's might attack on this one.
Let him cook.
But I hope that we see actual GC riders go for it. But I also then think, who is going to control it? And that's where I'm a bit unsure.
Shouldn't UAE try, like, isn't this where you play you have 4 GC riders plus Marc Soler. You have like 5. And Soler attacked today, by the way.
Yeah,
so he's up for it. Isn't this where you play with the Valley after?
Yes, but you can do that plan without controlling the race. As in...
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, yeah.
If you control the breakaway and you go to that climb and you do the rolling attacks on the climb and after the climb, if it fails, then the others might take bonus seconds. So let the break fucking go and then do it anyway. Because that way you have the backup of not having bonus seconds if there's faster GC riders that you can't drop in that sense.
Yeah.
But, like, if Roglic didn't crash today, Bora would control that.
I would pick Roglic for this, but he crashed really
hard. But winning,
though. His sprint's not looked so good, but still, he's still got a pretty good sprint, and he also times it better than Remco.
Yeah.
But
Remco's timing today was on point, mate.
Yeah, true.
At the intermediate sprint.
Yeah, yeah. Remco looks much more relaxed here compared to Paris-Nice, no?
Yeah.
I'm not on the team bus, but the team with Lando and Vivaka here seems pretty like...
Yeah. Laughing after the IS, stuff like that.
Yeah, it seems a lot better. So what do you think? No, I didn't say break.
Oh.
I mean, Kwiatkowski, Frailer, gotta be in the break. Like, without Pidcock here, those two, this is such a good finish for them. And for Ineos, there's also teams like Quinton Hermans, frankly.
Yeah.
Quinton Hermans or a lot of, you know, obviously UAE won't be allowed, but Quentin Pacher, Simon Geschke, I'll mention even Bagioli, I don't know, like Teo as well.
Schelmoser.
No, he can't be in the break. I mean, what?
I know, but I look at the state. For some reason, I was looking at Fornard Dash Classics results, and then I was shouting Schelmoser.
Imagine. But yeah, we should have probably, maybe we're not rating him enough. We should have mentioned him when we're talking about who could win this from the GC guys.
Yeah.
In a sprint.
That's
like
what
Schelmoser, he dusted McNulty and Jorgensen in Paris-Nice, right?
Because I straight up looked at Gregoire first, because I was like, has he done races with this kind of climb? It seems too hard for him.
Only
then I looked
at
Fornardes, where he got second behind Ayuso, so Ayuso could do well on this. But then Schelmoser was third in that race, so for some reason, I'm looking at Fornardes Classic results to see whether someone can do well at this Basque Country stage. But Ayuso can definitely win this. Schelmoser can win this. Evenepoel can win this. Roglic can win this.
Roglic could have won this.
Yeah, I don't know now.
Yeah. Jonas can win it.
Yeah, but I agree. He needs to drop everyone, though. Unless
I think he can win a sprint.
Sprints everybody again.
I think he win a sprint.
Not against everybody, man.
No, against not against Skelmoser everybody. I'm talking if he can convince poor old, like Brandon McNulty or till I ride on front in front of him. Why would McNulty do that? I don't know. Vingegaard's sprint isn't complete dog shit. Like he can actually sprint.
I'm gonna go completely different. I think a decathlon rider is gonna win this for some reason.
All right, who?
Alex Baudin from the Brag.
Okay. I'm gonna go with Peo Bilbao. from a small group of GC riders, times it just right. He beat Alaphilippe in a hard Muri stage 2 years ago in Basque Country. And you're right. For some reason, even though he's 63 kilos and can win flat sprints, he cannot sprint uphill for shit.
Yeah.
Defies all logic. But Bilbao is, I'll pick Bilbao. Just guess also his home race, and I like the rider. Also, Santi in a flyer. I don't know his exact shape. It's really tough to know. Let's be clear a bit. We will see tomorrow. They're not going to walk up this climb. That someone is going to go for it. We will see who is serious and who is not here. And so
I said from the break, but I actually don't think it's going to be a breakaway win. Some team is going to control it.
I think so. From the breakaway, I would like Archie Ryan solo. He's very, very good on those sort of climbs, and EF obviously would try to be in there. Aaron Baru should obviously be trying to go in the breakaway because he climbs very, very well, and he won even a stage with a climb like this in the Basque Country. And Langelotti, or who else do I like?
Half the star lists at this point.
Yeah, Quinton Hermans, I already said. He should be on a breakaway again. Back to back. Or Oscar Onley. I don't see...
What's your final name? One name, each of us. Come on.
I said Bilbao.
Okay. I'm going to go for... I'm not going to go for Baudin. I've switched my mind. I'm going to go for... Ayuso.
Even with the crash? I mean, he looked okay.
He didn't look that okay. You're right. Fuck. Del Toro, for some reason. Fuck it.
What do you mean for some reason? His sprint is insane.
Yeah, but 10% climb of 4 kilometers?
True. I mean, Del Toro is going to have to do the thing where he's going to have to practice staying with the GC boys if they kick it off. He can't ride his own tempo. All right, that is Basque Country today and tomorrow. The last bit of news, this was leaked last night. I don't know if it was a Dutch or Belgian newspaper. It was like not a cycling paper or organization. Leaked that sportive director Marijn Zeeman would be leaving Team Visma Lisebike, and then a press release came out at 1 o'clock today on the team website. I'll read out some long quotes from Marijn and Richard Plugger, but I'll read out the copy at the top. Sportive director Marijn Zeeman leaves Team Visma Lisebike at the end of the season. Zeeman, active for the team since 2012 and sportive director of Team Visma Lisebike since 2017, is leaving the team at the end of the season. After almost 13 years of being jointly responsible for the successful rebuilding of the team, Zeeman is now opting for a new step in his career. And we saw, given that there was a simultaneous tweet from AZ Alkmaar, which is one of the top clubs in the Dutch Eredivisie.
Football is correct.
That they said they welcome to the club Marijn Zeeman. He'll officially take office as general manager at AZ Alkmaar on December 1, 2024.
Yes.
Big loss to the team.
I lost my feeling when it comes to football, so I don't know how good AZ Alkmaar is compared to the other football teams.
I don't know much about Dutch football, I got to say.
Like 10 years ago, I was hardcore into football, but now there's only one superior sport. And my first feeling about this is, well, I think this is a proper loss for Visma because he was an active architect when it comes to the team. And he was kind of, to me, Marijn felt like the kind of guy that was like, controlling everything, you know, like that was like his eye was on every part of the team, and it's hard for someone to replace that specific role because you need to know something about everything, and that's something. He's been there for a long time. He's been part of every part of the team. I don't know. It's gonna be for some reason this makes me feel bearish about Visma a little bit in the long term future, and. The second feeling I have is that cycling itself, Marijn said for, I think last year on some Dutch podcast, that he would like to go from cycling to the football world at some point. And there's so many people in this sport, or at least quite a few notable people in this sport, that use cycling as a stepping stone to a different sport or to a different ambition. Because for Marijn, that's towards football. And then when you got La Parcian trying to use the UCI leading position to become a person important in the Olympics committee and so forth, it's, I don't know, I've just got this feeling that cycling's being fucking disrespected, okay? Like, we are the superior sport and people need to act like that. That's how I feel.
was Thomas Bach in cycling.
Who the fuck is Thomas Bach?
The head of the IOC.
Never heard of that man.
No, he was a fencer.
But it was a composer, music composer.
But yeah, you're right. It's strongly rumored that David Lapartien wants that job, which is the president of the IOC at some point in the future.
I see.
Brailsford?
Put yourself in the position of Marijn at the moment. You've been with the team for so long. You've gotten the team with the help of others around you as well, but you've been a big part of getting the team to the point where they've first won the Tour de France, then 3 Grand Tours in 1 year. The likelihood of that going upwards in the next few years, that becoming better than 3 Grand Tours in a year, is just not super likely. Which means that I like the idea of stepping out and going to a new project at the height of the achievement. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But yeah, I can personally say that I really, really enjoyed working with Marijn. It's the end of 2024. So there's still this season and where nothing changes. But yeah, Marijn been really, really, really good to me personally. So I'm always really, really grateful to him for that. And I learned a lot from him. And he's from Alkmaar, from North Holland. Football's a big sport. And I'm sure he'll have success, whatever he does. But yeah, that was the big news this morning. But it's also, of course, as you said, Benji, it's like, you know, that change means that there has to be changes because he is everywhere. But yeah, in case people didn't see that, he's like, would you say the equivalent of Machin?
That's difficult because Machin went from scouting.
There's no uniform structure, is there, in all the teams? They all have different structures.
I don't know, because like in every team it's slightly different. I don't know how close every team manager is towards their team in every single team. With Lefebvre, I've sometimes got the idea that it's become a bit more distanced than a year ago or 2 years ago is the kind of vibe I'm getting. And then when I look at what other teams exist on this planet. With Ineos, with Brailsford, it looked like the distance was quite big already last year because it was also gradually stepping out of this sport. So it feels like with every team, it's different. But the position that Marijn has right now is a position that is hard to replace. You need somebody that knows something about everything, and good luck finding that.
But yeah, we'll see how that plays out. What else? Is there any other news, Benji? It's Luke's birthday today.
Yeah, it's Luke's birthday. So happy birthday, Luke, our producer. He deserves a happy birthday from every single person watching this on YouTube in the comments section. So I'm expecting high amount of comments right there. But also there's some news about the Roubaix parkour changing, but we can preview that once we do the Paris-Roubaix preview, I reckon.
Yeah, they're changing the run into Arenberg. Because it's a straight line normally. Okay, so they're going to not go straight in at 60Ks an hour. They're going to try and make the riders enter a bit slower. I can't say I disagree with that personally.
I agree. It's an idea, and I want to see it into action. But you're also moving the choke point. The choke point is now narrowing into the cobble sector at high speed, which is dangerous. Now the choke point will be the chicane that comes before it. I don't know how serious that chicane is. If someone crashes there on Sunday, everybody's going to be complaining anyway about the change, you know? Like,
exactly. People are like, why'd you put the road furniture in there? And everyone raced to that point. It squeezed, crash. You know, pit riders are also going to crash because they're racing for a point, but also like they enter Arenberg on the straight line at 70 kilometers an hour, 65 kilometers an hour. It's crazy.
I've seen a lot of people say ride Arenberg the opposite way.
Because it doesn't have the descent. Because yeah, Arenberg is a descent at the start. It's crazy.
Yeah, I'm okay with them trying that. Like, I have no issue with that.
And there has been, like last year, it affected the race massively. There was a huge crash with Fred Wright and Dylan Van Baarle. And I think Asgren? I saw Asgren. And I think I saw a video of the crash with Fred Wright. Like, he didn't even do anything wrong. Like, his wheel just obliterated, just disintegrated or something. And then guys behind him and then crash, and then there's a huge blockage and whoever's behind it, you're never coming back. And then we saw that. So yeah, I got no problem with them changing it and trying something different, because it's probably the first 500 meters of Arenberg, probably the most dangerous section of road used in the whole UCI calendar.
Ooh. Probably.
Downhill cobbles, then the cobbles are this big.
Yeah, probably.
That you hit in a straight line in the past, in a sprint lead out.
It is the reason that they don't put it in the women's race, because it would be one of the first sectors that a full peloton would go into. Because now in the men's race, there are sectors before it. I think there's now, it's sector 19 Arenberg. There's 29 in total, so 10 sectors before that.
8 or 10 sectors before, yeah.
So, yeah, there's quite a bit of stuff happening there. But hey, the change is happening. We'll talk about if it influences the race in our Paris-Roubaix preview or not.
Hopefully not too much in terms of the luck component. Yep. But hope you enjoyed the podcast. We'll see you with the recap of maybe the first GC stage. Certainly there might be some action in Basque Country tomorrow. Hopefully Roglic and Ayuso are unaffected and come back fighting. It'd be a shame for the race if two of the big hot favorites were knocked out by crashes before we even got to stages 4 and 6. So hopefully they rest up, have a good night's sleep as best they can. And we will as well. We'll see you tomorrow for stage 4. Ciao.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.